Good evening. We're going to turn to our Bibles, to 1 Peter chapter 1, and I'd like to read verses 1 through 9 this evening as we open our evening service. Now, I hope that folks are not getting used to this manner of ministering on the Lord's Day in particular, and I know and trust that you are safe at home. And by this, you don't need to come along to church and join with us here. But that is regrettable, and we certainly must never get used to substituting technology for the living, face-to-face preaching of God's Word. But tonight we continue our evening service. We're looking at the Word of God tonight at 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 1. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, Bithynia, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through sanctification of the Spirit, unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ, grace unto you and peace be multiplied. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen, ye love, in whom, though now ye see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. And we'll end our reading just there. Now, we read that tonight because Peter mentions that we are kept by the power of God. And that's a truth we want to pray on tonight. Also, that we are called to rejoice even though we are in heaviness through manifold temptations. And God mentions the purpose here, that the trial of your faith, being more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory. So every trial that the Christian endures in this old world, God uses to purify us. The Lord takes away the dross of the world, the dross of the flesh in our lives, teaches us humility, patience, and learning to trust more and more in the Lord. And surely that's what we must do in these days as this COVID-19 pandemic rages around the world, and Canada is also, the numbers are climbing, and we are not through this yet. And some of the medical experts are saying that we'll be at least one more week before they know the direction that this is taking. So we need patience and we need to persevere. And of course, we need to pray for all that have already been seriously affected by this virus. So please bow with me in prayer. Let us each seek the Lord this evening and bring our burdens to him this hour. Father in heaven, we come to thee in the name of the Lord Jesus, and we thank thee that we may call upon thy name in light of the things we have read here in your word. We thank thee that we are kept by the power of God. And just as you hold the world hanging upon nothing, you hold up your saints, your people. And we take great hope in this, that we have a lively hope by the power of the resurrection through our living Lord Jesus, that our Savior is at thy right hand, O God, interceding for us, and is given the government of the kingdom and of the whole dominion of the world. He is the head of all things. And so we come to thee this evening, learning to trust and praying for patience, that we may endure this trial of our faith. Lord, this is so contrary to all of our Christian living, when God's people cannot gather together, when we cannot have our regular worship services, when people are for the most part bound in their homes, when there is this fear of the virus stalking day and night. And we ask, O Lord, for your protection, for your keeping power, and that you will work this for our good, that we may learn to pray, that we may dig into your word and learn those things that are necessary for these times, that we become a people who know their times and are willing to obey the Lord and be witnesses for thee even in these difficult times. We are mindful of those tonight who have already been struck down by this virus, some who are even fighting for their health and their lives, some who have been changed for life, and families that are in bereavement and sorrow. Oh God, have mercy, we pray. We ask thee to draw very near to the suffering in our land at this time. And we ask, O God, that you will bless our own congregation, keep each one free from this and from the fallout of this also. We think of the employment and the jobs that are at danger. We ask, Lord, for your favor upon your people at this time and all the challenges that this presents. We pray for the children of our church, O Lord, that you'll bless them and keep them. May they not be given to fear, but may they be drawn to trust the Savior. May they too, as they go through this fire, may they be brought forth as gold. May they be shining and beaming for the Lord Jesus. And may their hearts be drawn to trust in the Lord Jesus and trust in your salvation. And so help us tonight as we come into your word. Grant, Lord, that we might find those lessons that will strengthen us, that will enable us to minister and to pray according to the events of our day. We pray for wisdom, we pray for guidance, and we pray for your presence with us. Oh, do not leave us, Lord, but be with us day by day and hour by hour. We ask in the wonderful name of our Lord Jesus. Now, our message in song tonight is a pre-recorded piece, O For a Closer Walk with God. This evening we're turning in our Bible to Jeremiah chapter 14. Back to a passage that I am burdened to preach tonight. I was going through this section in the Bible this week in my daily devotions and daily Bible reading, and when I came to Jeremiah chapter 14, well, there are things here that really apply to our own present situation. So please open your Bible at Jeremiah 14, verse 1, and follow along as we read this section of God's Word together. Now, this is about a drought. It is about praying for rain, praying for God's favor in a day of drought. And the application is very obvious as we even just read this chapter of Jeremiah chapter 14. The word of the Lord that came to Jeremiah concerning the dearth. Judah mourneth, and the gates thereof languish. They are black unto the ground, and the cry of Jerusalem is gone up. And their nobles have sent their little ones to the waters. They came to the pit and found no water. They returned with their vessels empty, and they were ashamed and confounded and covered their heads. Because the ground is chapped, for there was no rain in the earth, and the plowmen were ashamed, they covered their heads. Yea, the hind also calved in the field and forsook it, because there was no grass. And the wild asses did stand in the high places. They snuffed up the wind like dragons. Their eyes did feel, because there was no grass. O Lord, though our iniquities testify against us, do thou it for thy namesake, for our backslidings are many. We have sinned against thee. O the hope of Israel, the Savior thereof in time of trouble, why shouldest thou be as a stranger in the land, and as a wayfaring man that turneth aside to tarry for a night? Why shouldest thou be as a man astonied, as a mighty man that cannot save? Yet thou, O Lord, art in the midst of us, and we are called by thy name. Leave us not. Thus saith the Lord unto this people, thus have they loved to wander. They have not refrained their feet. Therefore the Lord doth not accept them. He will now remember their iniquity and visit their sins. Then said the Lord unto me, pray not for this people for their good. When they fast, I will not hear their cry, and when they offer burnt offering and an oblation, I will not accept them. But I will consume them by the sword, and by the famine, and by the pestilence. Then said I, ah, Lord God, behold, the prophets say unto them, ye shall not see the sword, neither shall ye have famine, but I will give you assured peace in this place. Then the Lord said unto me, the prophets prophesy lies in my name. I sent them not, neither have I commanded them, neither spake unto them. They prophesy unto you a false vision and divination, and a thing of naught, and the deceit of their heart. Therefore thus saith the Lord concerning the prophets that prophesy in my name, and I sent them not, yet they say, sword and famine shall not be in this land. By sword and famine shall those prophets be consumed. And the people to whom they prophesy shall be cast out in the streets of Jerusalem, because of the famine and the sword, and they shall have none to bury them, them, their wives, nor their sons, nor their daughters, for I will pour their wickedness upon them. Therefore thou shalt say this word unto them, Let mine eyes run down with tears night and day, and let them not cease, for the virgin daughter of my people is broken with a great breach, with a very grievous blow. If I go forth into the field, then behold the slain with the sword. And if I enter into the city, then behold them that are sick with famine. Yea, both the prophet and the priest go about into a land that they know not. Hast thou utterly rejected Judah? Hath thy soul loathed Zion? Why hast thou smitten us, and there is no healing for us? We looked for peace, and there is no good, and for a time of healing, and behold, trouble. We acknowledge, O Lord, our wickedness and the iniquity of our fathers, for we have sinned against thee. Do not abhor us, for thy name's sake. Do not disgrace the throne of thy glory. Remember, break not thy covenant with us. Are there any among the vanities of the Gentiles that can cause rain? Or can the heavens give showers? Art not thou he, O Lord our God? Therefore we will wait upon thee, for thou hast made all these things. Well, we trust the Lord will use his word in our hearts tonight as we meditate upon it, and may this be a word in season for all the issues that we face at this very time. And we trust that God will be with you, be gracious unto everyone, and cause his face to smile upon you. Now please pray for our church ministries that we are doing online by webcast, 10:30, 6 p.m. Sundays, and then on Wednesday at 7:30 we will have a prayer message again, calling everyone to pray in your homes and to seek the Lord. Now I mentioned this morning that we will have a elders and deacons meeting. I'll be sending out an email or phoning you, contacting you regarding that this week. Please pray for our radio broadcasts as well that go out on Sundays at 9:30 and each day, Monday to Friday, 5 a.m. and 5 p.m. We're thankful for radio listeners who have been in contact, some for the very first time, and it's good to know that they are profiting from the ministry of God's own word. We're also thankful, and I announced this morning, for the clear answer that God has given to the Reverend Thomas Laverty, who was called to our Orlando church down in Florida. And a few months ago, the congregation extended that call. He has answered that to the Ulster Presbytery. But please pray for all the logistics and all the issues of him traveling. He'll obviously not get there for some time, but that the people also will have patience, and certainly this will be good news for them, and we rejoice with them in this news. Remember to send in your prayer requests, and I can list them at our prayer time on Wednesday evening, and if you need to be in touch, feel free to give me a call or send me an email. Now let's turn to our message tonight here in Jeremiah chapter 14. Let's unite in prayer a moment, ask the Lord's blessing upon his word. Father, we come to thee in the name of the Lord Jesus. We ask that it will please thee to guide us in this chapter of your word. Lord, it's blatantly obvious the parallels and the lessons that we need to take heed unto as we live for thee today in the situation we find ourselves in our nations. O God, we cry out to thee, do not leave us, but come to us, minister to us in grace and power. I pray for the Holy Spirit and for that anointing of heaven to proclaim this word this hour in the name, the mighty name of our Lord Jesus. Amen. This passage, this prophecy of Jeremiah, is concerning the drought. And if you scan over the first six verses, you will just see how disastrous it was. There was no water in the wells. There was no water in the pits. There was no grass. The animals were dying, and the people were in dire straits. And, of course, everyone is quick enough to see the obvious connection that God is in control of these things, and he brings them about. And we have to recognize that this coronavirus that is raging across our countries, affecting millions upon millions of people, is the hand of God at work. These are fearful times to so many. The sick are multiplying, and the medical people are racing to fight this pandemic. Now, we need to look into the history of this severe drought under Judah and learn from it. We need to take those historical lessons that applied to Jeremiah and the people of Judah and be able to look at that history and see how God worked in that time, the reasons why he brought this drought, and the lessons that needed to be learned. And of course, we have Jeremiah, God's prophet, God's mouthpiece, right in the midst of it. He had a serious responsibility to preach the word of the Lord in that time of drought. And likewise, every gospel preacher has a very serious responsibility to preach to the day in which we minister. Now, John 3:16 is still there. But we need to go to those sections of the Bible where we learn about God working in these kinds of situations. Now, the great lesson here is that lesser judgments, lesser or little judgments, are sent to warn of greater. And the simple application is that if man cannot stand against this silent killer of a virus that you could put on a pinhead, how is man going to stand against Almighty God in his wrath on the judgment day? Now, this is brought up, if you go back with me, to Jeremiah 12 and verse 5. And there is this teaching on lesser judgments ought to warn us about greater. And in chapter 12, 5, it says, "If thou hast run with the footmen, and they have wearied thee, then how canst thou contend with horses?" The lesson's obvious. If you cannot keep up with footmen, men who are just on foot, how can we keep up with that fast horse? And again, if in the land of peace wherein thou trustest, they weary thee, how shalt thou do in the swelling of Jordan? Now, Jordan was annually prone to overflowing its banks, causing floods, and that would be great upsetting to the people. Now, if they are weary in days of peace and normality, how shall they do in the day of flooding when the banks of Jordan overflow? And so the great lesson is that if man cannot withstand a puny virus, how are we going to stand against the great God on the eternal day? And this is a powerful warning to the wicked, a powerful warning to those who say that they don't need Christ as their Savior. You are facing, it is staring you in the face that you are vulnerable. You cannot stand before God without his grace. Now, what did Jeremiah do about this? He was the man in the midst. He was the man of the hour. He was God's prophet, God's mouthpiece. What did he do? Well, I learn from this chapter that Jeremiah took these matters to prayer and to crying out to God. And so we too are informed by this what we must do. We must go to our God in prayer, pleading for his grace and his mercy. So let's look tonight in this Jeremiah chapter 14, how Jeremiah prayed. And that will teach us how we should pray. And if you are not willing to bow the knee and pray in this hour, I fear, when will you ever bow the knee to the Lord and seek his face? Look at verse 7, firstly. Here is Jeremiah's response to the drought. O Lord, though our iniquities testify against us, do thou it for thy name's sake. For our backslidings are many, we have sinned against thee. Now, Jeremiah did not just mourn over the lack of rain and the drought, the suffering that that brought, but he went further. He got to the cause of the rain being turned off and the drought in the land. And he went immediately to recognize that God had shut up the rain because of the sins in the land. And that has to be our focus as we pray for Canada today. Or else we're going to get a slight healing. We're going to get people in Canada who say, oh, I need deliverance from this danger. But if they are not brought to repentance, to turn from their sins, then it will be just as it was in the day of Jeremiah. There were those false prophets saying, peace, peace, and healing the people slightly. Now, hear Jeremiah's statement right there in verse 7. Our iniquities testify against us. They were pointing the finger. They were pointing out their guilt. And of course, that is true today. And the first use of this word in the Old Testament is by Cain when he called it punishment. Cain said, my punishment is greater than I can bear. It was such a heavy sentence of guilt that it burdened him down. And of course, such is the guilt upon our nation here in Canada. Canada has become a leader in progressive liberalism that has jettisoned God, jettisoned fixed truth, and Canada has become an experimental nation for man's rebellion to God. And this is true from our Prime Minister to almost every politician. For none of our political parties in Canada has a platform of biblical morality. There is none that will speak up for the unborn. There are none that will stand up for biblical marriage. Pride parades have the support of the general population, and that has always caused me to cringe. Why would anyone, husband, wife, take their children along to such a pride parade? And that shows their toleration, what in the LGBTQ community is called allies. And unfortunately, there are multitudes of people in this country that are tolerant of these things. And of course, churches too have followed this agenda. And I say tonight, shame on you. Shame on any preacher, Bible teacher, or religious leader that has pushed this perverted agenda and given a leadership in this country where the people are taught lies concerning morality. But we have to confess ourselves that we have become somewhat tolerant. We almost grow used to these things. Did we protest? Did we cry out? What was our witness against such sins? And I take here from God's word, as I take the parallel lesson, God sending drought in Jeremiah's time because of the iniquities of the land, that this virus, we have to recognize, is a warning, a lesser warning, a judgment of greater judgment to come.
And for those who live in iniquity and who resist the word of the Lord and who defy God and his truth, well, they're going to meet the overflow of Jordan. They're going to see the flood of God's wrath. How will you stand in this day? And so we need to pray not just for healing in the land, that things might be materially and temporally well, but a true healing where men turn from their sins and truly turn unto the Lord. Now look at the latter part of verse 7, where Jeremiah confesses, "For our backslidings are many." Now you'll see the godliness of this man as the spokesman and representative of the people. He doesn't just say the people's sins are many. He puts himself in there and he says our sins are many. And this must be the posture of the church. We have to mourn and lament and sense the burden of iniquity and the displeasure of God, and recognize that we also are a part of the problem, and cry out to God that he will have mercy. And so you can see that he prayed with a confession of iniquities. Now in that verse 7, you also see that he prayed for the Lord's name's sake. O Lord, though our iniquities testify against us, do thou it for thy name's sake. This is a burden for the honor of the Lord's name. Obviously, in Judah, God's name was forsaken. There was false worship and idolatry. Idols were invoked on the hills, in the fields. If you go way back to chapter 13, verse 27, you will see that it says, "I have seen thine adulteries and thy nains, the lewdness of thy whoredom and thine abominations on the hills in the fields." That's idolatry. That is an analogy, just as a faithless wife departs from her husband and turns to other things. So when God's people turn away from the Lord, it's called adultery. It's spiritual adultery. It is turning hearts, devotion, and our love to other things. And in this land, Canadians are seriously guilty of these things. And I fear also, to some degree, many professing Christians. Now, you'll see here that Jeremiah did not plead his own name. He did not plead the goodness of God's people. He pleaded as one who was absolutely bankrupt of any good. And the only argument he could make was the Lord's name's sake. Now that's our cue for prayer. That's our plea with God. Because why should God be gracious to Canada? There is no argument as we scan this land that will have any power with God. This land is ripe for judgment. It is a land that has deserved the wrath of God. But we pray for the Lord's name's sake, for his church, for his honor and his glory. And we need to pray that the gospel will again prevail in this land and for the kingdom of the Lord to expand in this country. Will you do that? Every professing Christian needs to waken up to the reality of the call to humbling ourselves and praying, crying to God. Now, we move on to Jeremiah's next focus in prayer, verse 8, and you'll see that he prayed that men would recognize the Savior as their only hope. And he cries out, "O hope of Israel, the Savior thereof in the time of trouble." Now surely we can preach this in Canada. We can preach this in our generation. The Lord Jesus Christ is the hope of Israel but he's also the hope of the world. We are to preach Christ to every creature, go into all the world. And so every Canadian needs to hear this message, that Jesus is our hope. Now think of what our Lord has done. Think of the glory that the Lord Jesus left when he came from heaven. He was once in the presence of the Father, sharing all his glory. But he came down into this world, took a human body in his incarnation, and he lived among men a sinless life. And he triumphed over sin, against every temptation, against every attack of the devil. We know his preaching and teaching, and then his submission to death. How our Lord planned, schemed for the day when he would suffer on that cross. And we hear his cry from that cross, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And there was the suffering Savior in the place of sinners, bearing the wrath of God due to every sinner. And the Lord Jesus took that load of sin upon himself. And then to crown it, he cried out, it is finished. Every sin had to go beneath the cleansing flow. And this is the Savior that Canadians need. This is the Savior that you and I need. And I plead with you tonight that you give your heart to the Lord Jesus as your own personal Savior, because he is the hope of the world. And we can take this to any, in the face of this coronavirus, people are fearful for their health and their lives. And perhaps those who have already contracted this virus or who are battling for their life, we can come alongside and say the Lord Jesus is the hope of the world. He is your hope as you face the uncertainty of life. And one day, I'm not in any way wishing death on anyone, but one day we're all going to face death. And we need the Savior. We need the grace of the Lord Jesus. He is the hope of sinners. And he's the hope of all eternity. We need to realize the wonderful life, the wonderful grace that is in Christ. Now, just to focus on that, think of the seven I Ams which Jesus claimed for himself. He said, I am the bread of life. And there is a figure of speech where the Lord is full of all grace and all nourishment for his people. He said, I am the light of the world. He is the one that brings life. I am the door. He's the way to the Father. He's the way to heaven. I am the good shepherd. He's the good shepherd who laid down his life for the sheep. He said, I am the resurrection and the life. And of course, our Lord Jesus faced death, went into the tomb, was under the power of death for 3 days, 3 nights, but rose again. He not only said it, but he proved it. I am the resurrection and the life. He said also, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And then seventhly, I am the true vine. And all of these self-claims the Lord made for himself just proves the life that is in the Lord Jesus. And so you need to know, and our family and our loved ones, our neighbors, Canadians need to know that Jesus is truly the hope of the world. And he's the hope of every sinner that will recognize their need of salvation and peace with God. And so I point you tonight to the person and the victory of the Lord Jesus as your Savior. And we need to pray that Canada comes to know the Savior and many are brought to faith in him. Now moving on to verse 8. Why shouldest thou be a stranger in the land? Why shouldest thou be as a man astonied? That's on in verse 9. And then it says, as a mighty man that cannot save. These are perplexing statements. We need to pray for the Lord to rise up in power to save. Now, the word astonied there means dumb. God's not speaking. The Lord's not ministering. And he is as a mighty man that does not save. Now, I do not doubt the might, the equality, and the omnipotence of the Lord Jesus. But we do have to recognize that in our day, very few are being added to the church. Very few are being born of the Spirit and brought into the kingdom. Where is the power of the Lord in this land? And here is Jeremiah recognizing that God, it's as if he went on a journey. It's as if he's absent for a time. And this has been our experience also. It's as if we had in the church are dead and powerless. We are in a condition of inability. And yet, you'll notice that Jeremiah says at the end, thou art in the midst of us. Look at verse 9, about four lines down. Yet thou, O Lord, art in the midst of us. And we are thankful that in our gatherings, in the church, in our homes, the Lord has not forsaken his people. He never will. He never can. But when it comes to gathering out a people and building the church, it's as if the Lord is not working. And we need to pray just as Jeremiah did. And you'll notice his last three words in verse 9. Leave us not. Oh, that needs to be prayed. And you and I need to take that to heart and say, Lord, don't leave us. Don't leave us, Lord. We need you so greatly. And what a heartbreaking thing tonight to look over this empty sanctuary. But Lord, don't leave us. We're in a fix. We're in great distress. We can't assemble. We can't come together as your people. God's people are scattered. Lord, don't leave us. We need to cry out for the Lord to visit in mighty power, to rise up as that mighty man who does save. We need the Lord to come into the midst and so work. Then in verses 10 to 12, pray not without asking for repentance. You'll see that thus saith the Lord unto this people, thus have they loved to wander, they have not refrained their feet, therefore the Lord doth not accept them. He will now remember their iniquity and visit their sins. Then said the Lord unto me, pray not for this people for their good. Pray not for this people? My, that's God seemingly speaking and done. No more. But you'll notice in verse 13 what Jeremiah does. He continues to pray. And he prays, then said I, ah, Lord God, behold the prophets. Behold the prophets, say unto them, ye shall not see sword. And he gets to the heart of the matter. Now, the message is, don't pray for this people unless you pray for repentance. Unless you pray that they give up their sins. I don't want to hear any more false worship, empty worship. I don't want to hear these light arguments without getting to the heart of the problem. And we see what Jeremiah did. He cried out to God. Verse 12, when they fast, I will not hear their cry. And when they offer burnt offerings and an oblation, I will not accept them, but I will consume them by the sword, and by the famine, and by the pestilence. But Jeremiah prayed on, and he cried to God, and he pleaded for this people. But he didn't pray for a slight healing. That was the problem of the day. twice over in Jeremiah, the book of Jeremiah, chapter 6 and chapter 8, you have these words, "For they have healed the hurt of the daughter of my people, slightly saying, peace, peace, when there is no peace." That's not how to pray. That's not how to cry to God. We must include cries to the Lord for repentance, that this nation, this people in Canada, be brought to an end of their wicked ways. Our cities, our governments, our institutions, education program, all the horrible iniquities that are committed in this land, we need to cry out against them and pray for a true healing in this land. And then dealing with the false prophets, you'll see there in verse 13 and 14 how Jeremiah prayed. "Ah, Lord God, behold, the prophets say unto them, ye shall see the sword. Ye shall not see the sword, neither shall ye have famine, but I will give you assured peace in this place. Then the Lord said unto me, the prophets prophesy lies in my name. I sent them not." Now, Canada and the Western world is in the moral mess that it's in because of false prophets and those who have preached peace, peace, when they were promoting abounding sin. And people need to be turned away from the evil agendas of the United Church, the Anglican Church, the Roman Catholic Church, the cults that are in this land, and those religions that seem to be able to marry, to merge together religion and iniquity. That those are the agents of the devil, and they are doing the devil's work and bringing judgment upon this land. And strangely, these are the people that constantly are talking about love, that God loves everybody, God loves everything, and that God will never judge. That's false. These are lies. Now, if you want a true definition of God's love, let's go to the little book of 2 John, chapter 1, verse 6. 2 John, chapter 1, and verse 6. "And this is love, that we walk after his commandments." There in God's word is the call to love God. And if we truly love God, we will do those things which please him. And God has given us his law, his commandments. But these false prophets, they never speak of these things. They never speak. It's as if the Ten Commandments were never given. When have you last heard a sermon on the Ten Commandments? Or a series of sermons on the Ten Commandments? These things, by and large, in Canada, are not preached. Therefore, the people forget the law of God, and they sin against God, and they're told by these false prophets that God loves everybody. We are all the children of God. There will be no wrath. There will be no judgment. Now, I wonder, are you in a church that preaches lies, that puts people to sleep in a false peace? Are you part of a ministry that you have to confess is destroying souls? Well, it's time to come out. It's time to pray against the false prophets. It's time to stand up for truth and righteousness and to proclaim the name of the Lord Jesus. Now, when people are not taught, the people perish. And we need to get back in this land of Canada to heralding the truth. And I trust that due to this virus, that we will never be the same again. That there will be a new urgency in our preaching and teaching. There will be a new sense of we must get this message to every heart and every soul across this nation and around the world, that men need the Savior. And they need to turn to the Lord. Now, in the final part of the chapter, you will see one more lesson on how to pray. And you'll see in verse 17 that we need to pray with tears.
Therefore thou shalt say this word unto them, let mine eyes run down with tears night and day, and let them not cease, for the virgin daughter of my people is broken with a great breach. Now that term, the virgin daughter, is really speaking of a father's love and protection of a teenage daughter. And that is God's relationship to his church. And you'll see that the sinful eye and the wicked ways that are leading that vulnerable person into a place of grief and sin. We ought to lament. There ought to be weeping for the Lord's church and for his people. We are facing a time of horror for our own nations. Thousands are dying. Thousands are ill. Families are living in fear. Nations are at a standstill. Work is drying up. 1 million people in Canada now on the unemployment. Now, those are temporal issues, but the heart of the issue is man's love of sin and Canada's departure from God. It ought to make us weep. Jeremiah was known as the weeping prophet. He had the Spirit of Christ in him. And we know that the Lord Jesus wept over the city of Jerusalem as he entered the city and he saw it in the distance. He knew the judgment that was coming upon Jerusalemite sinners. And we are told Jesus wept for them. He wept over the city of Jerusalem. Now that is true love. That is true ministry. And we have to confess our need for tears. And we need hearts that are broken and pleading with God for the souls of men. We think of our families, our loved ones, our church members, children in the church, of Canadians in general all around us. And we need a burden, because only the Lord can turn this around. Only the Lord can bring days of blessing back to this nation. You'll notice that the chapter ends down there in verse 22. Are there any among the vanities of the Gentiles that can cause rain? Or can the heavens give showers? Art not thou he, O Lord our God? Only the Lord could give the rain. Now obviously the Lord had shut up the rain, and the Lord alone could give the rain. And in this land of Canada, God has shut up the fountains of blessing. The power of the gospel has been turned off. The wicked have been abounding. But this is a day of warning. I'm not saying it's the end of the world. I'm not saying that Jesus is coming tonight. I'm not saying that there is no more time left in this world. I don't know. We do not know the day nor hour, but we know that this pandemic, this COVID virus, is the Lord's lesser warning of a greater judgment. And I reiterate that if puny man cannot stand against a little virus that is unseen, hidden, lurking, how shall we stand against the judgment of the Almighty God? Humble ourselves. Call on the Lord to be our Savior. And recognize your own personal need. Now, as Christians, we need to dedicate our lives to the Lord. We need to go as a family and get on our knees and say, Lord, have mercy. And change me from a lover of this world, and truly give me a genuine love for the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the bread of life, the light of the world, the door to heaven, who is the true vine. What a wonderful thing to be united to the Lord Jesus, to be a branch in the vine,
to be trusting in him. I pray that this chapter of Jeremiah 14 will be written on your heart, that you will be able to read over and pray over this chapter and cry to the Lord to save your soul. Go to Calvary. We are dealing with the one who came from heaven, went to the cross, rose again, and lives to save his people. He will save you. I pray that you will trust him with all your heart. Let's unite in prayer before we close the meeting. O Lord, we thank thee for these simple lessons from your word tonight. We recognize they are deep and they call for change of heart and life. O Lord, give us true, genuine tears, not mere fake, phony, short-term tears. But, O Lord, let us truly dedicate ourselves on the side of the Lord Jesus, and let us cry to thee for your mercy. O Lord, have mercy upon our nation. We, like Jeremiah, confess that our sins testify against us. We cannot deny that. This land has been so sinful. The attitude among Canadians is so liberal, so unbiblical, so atheistic or agnostic. It has turned against the living God. O Lord, we have seen the slide. We have seen the departure. We beg of thee to turn this nation again to thee. Turn us, O Lord, and we shall be turned. We confess that we can't turn ourselves. We need the Holy Spirit to work this in us. And so be pleased, O Lord, to turn this nation back to thee. May the preaching of thy word this day, from this pulpit and from the many pulpits where the gospel has been sounded forth in this land, may many be turned to the Savior. Please, Lord, in your mercy, do it for your name's sake. Do it for your glory, that your name may be held high in this nation once more, and that you would revive your church and have pity upon us. O God, be with us and be with each of our people, each family, each home, each member, each worshiper. Grant, Lord, that you would guide us and bless us. Use us as living witnesses in the week to come. We pray this earnestly in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And may the grace of the Lord Jesus, the love of God, the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with your blood-bought people, now and evermore. Amen.